We are speaking today on Musqueam territory, and we are broadcasting through Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, and I'm sure many other unnamed, unceded ancestral territories. This Saturday is Truth and Reconciliation Day. I want to maybe call on you guys to take some time and reflect on whose land we're on. Maybe you're not from around these parts. So take a minute this weekend and do some research on whose home territory your town is on. Maybe read some Richard Wagamese or Thomas King, great writers, both indigenous. And yeah, from Thomas King, I'd recommend either An Inconvenient Truth or The Truth About Stories. And if you feel so inclined, there's also a nonprofit called Indigenous Life Sport Academy. I have their mission statement here. By providing Indigenous youth with unstructured and semi-structured sports alike, the Indigenous Life Sports Academy, ILSA, creates social change and development within Indigenous communities. ILSA provides Indigenous youth with opportunities to play, express themselves, and improve both their mental and physical health, as well as learn skills such as snowboarding, skateboarding, biking, climbing, hiking, and golf that can benefit them long into their adult years. These healthy sports-based outlets assist in the relief of conscious and subconscious stress induced by intergenerational trauma within Indigenous communities. If you feel so inclined, their website is lifesportcanada.org. Donation button is on the top right hand of the screen. Outdoor recreation isn't renowned as the most accessible type of thing out there, and around here it takes place on stolen land. Acknowledging something is great, but I encourage you all to brainstorm some other ways to take action. Speaking of action, we are here today with Olivia McNeil. Welcome to the show. Do you want to introduce yourself and where you're from?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. First of all, yeah, my name's Olivia. I'm born and raised in Vancouver. Yeah, and I'm currently going to UBC. I'm in my fourth year studying English honors in international relations. Love skiing, obviously. Yeah. Just love being outside. My friend recently told me that I'm considered the mud kid of our childhood friend group, and I was, so that's good
that's
to know.
An honor.
That's good to know. An honor, really. Yeah, I was like, I know a lot. I never thought I would be the mud kid because I know so many. I was like, I find at least the mud kid.
Capital M,
but yeah,
capital K.
An absolute honor to be the mud kid. Yeah, and to be here today with you.
Awesome. Yeah, so your name stuck out to me because you ride for Free Ride World Tour, right?
Yeah, I have, yes.
Yeah. I just had Marcus and Weitian on the show last week talking a little bit about the tour. Seems pretty intense at times. Seems like different athletes kind of take it in different ways. I know that you rode for the Whistler Freeride team, is that right?
Yeah, I've skied with the Whistler Freeride Club for, I guess, since I was 12.
Cool.
Yeah.
Never thought of, like, ski racing on Cyprus or anything?
Honestly, I really liked ski cross, but that's
nice.
When I was, like, 10. Mm-hmm. I loved ski cross, but there was nothing for it. In Whistler, my friend's older brother was in the Freeride Club. I had no idea what Freeride was. My family were not big skiers before I started competing a lot. And so I just kind of like pulled up. I got in. They told me there were competitions. Kind of just accelerated from there.
So your first competitive skiing was Freeride?
Properly.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And what was it like kind of knowing that you had some local mountains but deciding to take it to Whistler?
I mean, it's hard to even imagine like the alternative. Mm-hmm. I think it's influenced so much of my life being a part of that club specifically. yeah, I don't even think about it. Cool. It's just, yeah, it's just Whistler and Freeride. They go together.
Awesome. So where did you stay when you would go up there? Like day trips?
I'm super lucky. My dad or my grandpa had a cabin awesome. When I was growing up. And then as we kind of, you know, we get more into it, we got a cabin there and we started, all the time.
Day trips, they sure take it out of you.
They do take it out of you.
Can be pretty brutal. And when you're trying to actually perform, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That if you have done any day trips, I don't know if you feel any different when you're, you know, after you've traveled. I sure do.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm a big fan of sleep.
So getting more into the history of your experience with free ride skiing, can you give us a little overview of what free ride actually is compared to, let's say, big mountain or freestyle?
I guess, yeah, when people ask me about free ride and they have no idea what that means, I immediately answer with, like, I jump off cliffs. Mm-hmm. I think that's the easiest way to distinguish it to those that aren't super involved in skiing from other disciplines. But I guess more specifically, it's about the way that you use the natural features on the mountain.
Cool.
It's judged. It's not it's very I guess for me, it's about creativity. Mm-hmm. My favorite part, I think many of our favorite parts watching is that kind of creativity that everyone brings to the table. You get to see each individual skier's style and how they interact with all the different parts of, like, the natural built environment. Mm-hmm. I think it's taught me a lot about looking at the built environment in certain ways. And then, they judge you on, hypothetically, how difficult where you're going is, and then how well you deliver.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt sandbagged? You ever felt like maybe judges didn't give you a score that you thought you deserved? Or maybe it went the other way. You were like, oh, that was a really bad run, and I got, like, whatever, like 80, you know?
I guess usually, or on the world tour, the number isn't so much reflective of, like, your actual points or how you did. It's just like a placeholder.
Okay.
Which in North America growing up, we don't use that like that. It's not judged live. You get your scores after. So the scores are actually, like,
gotcha,
reflective of something that you specifically and explicitly did, and kind of more traceable, which makes so much sense growing up. But of course, it's judged live. It's a live show.
Yeah,
they do it live, and so the numbers are a placeholder. So sometimes it's hard.
Cool.
I think if you drop earlier or if you drop last, especially, those numbers are literally just kind of putting you somewhere. I guess I don't know about feeling sandbagged. Definitely sometimes where I'm like, oh, I feel like that should have placed better. Usually, I'm not going to lie, over the past few years, I've both been extremely injured all the time or fallen, so I totally get it. You know what? I respect their decisions there. Yeah, usually, lately, I have agreed with them. But yeah, I was told by a bunch of different people that my last comp in Kicking Horse, they thought should have gone better. So I was actually, I didn't. Personally, I mean, I had no opinions about that one. I was more like, I was injured, I was out, I had fallen twice. I was like, this is just a fun kind of ode to mountain. So I was glad people really liked it, because I was just trying to have a nice, fun run
totally.
Where I didn't get more injured.
Yeah.
So,
Okay, that's interesting because, when you're watching, free ride, like, even a replay, and I don't yet quite understand the minutia of how they judge. I was like, oh my god, like, look at those scores. That's crazy that they just, like, come up with that within seconds of them coming through the gate. Like, whoa, that must be controversial that they're just coming to those decisions right there and then. But it makes more sense that it's actually a more controlled grade. It must still be a little bit subjective, though, hey?
Yeah. I mean, that's unavoidable.
Yeah,
it's totally so subjective.
Yeah, when you're judging things like skiing or, even gymnastics and things like that, like, when there are points for certain tricks. It's just like, depends even how the judge is feeling that day, I'm assuming. Speaking of changeable things, the mountain can be a nasty place with weather. Not to, you know, dumb down the cool experience of skiing, but it does all come down to snow conditions at the end of the day. What, I'm curious, kind of what's the worst weather you feel like you've been in at a start gate before?
I guess the only good thing about being, not the only good thing, in terms of weather, the only good thing about being on the World Tour is the fact that we can't hold the competitions in like a storm. Because growing up and or on the IFSA circuit, which is the North American side, we can hold the competitions in any weather. So I have, growing up, we've dropped in, and everyone else who has competed with me in North America has dropped in like full whiteout. We have gone through, I've competed in like negative 38. And you just kind of like, we're all getting frostbite through our clothes. Huge shout out to everyone else who actually had to stay outside, like that staff and our coaches, because we would just kind of like run. And so honestly, the worst weather I've been in the start gate on the tour is mostly just bad.
Yeah.
Bad snow. But yeah, thankfully not any of that. It's great. I feel like I can ski anywhere, anytime because of that. blindly.
Oh, God.
But yeah, the Euros will never understand what we've gone through.
So when they come over here to compete, are they ever shocked by the conditions that you guys are like, yeah, it's a go? Good.
Yeah. I mean, what stands out to me, honestly, when they come over here to compete is how stoked they are about pickup trucks. They always rent a pickup truck, even though it doesn't make any sense for them to have a pickup truck. So they love that. But yeah, I think there'll be times where we're looking at a venue and it's not like we all understand like the safety of it. Mm-hmm. But if it's like really crappy snow, but not like in an unsafe way, just bad, like skied out, like iced, or not, it's not really ski out, but you know, like imagine if something that has not been touched was looking like it had been hit by every single person in like a North American resort. We look at that and we're like, we're good to go. And often the Euros are like, that's disgusting. Like, this is ridiculous. I think, guys, you've never had to land on like a 2 foot deep traverse track before. Like, that run is amazing. Like, there's literally no one has skied on it. And even if it's icy or like hard packed, if it's ice and it's smooth, I'm happy. As long as it's smooth, I'm happy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You gotta work with what you got at a certain point.
Exactly. Yeah. You really do.
Cool. I'm looking to get a bit more into how one would like strive to be on the tour. Like, what's it like to qualify? What's it like moving from like, junior to pro, or even getting into junior in the first place?
Yeah. When I was 15, at NORAMS, it was my first, I'd kind of gotten fully into competing around then and then stayed doing that much, which was like, I missed like 2 months of school because I was just kind of like, it was the way things worked out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm excited to be able to do this for the next 4 years. And my coach was like, no. You're going straight, like you are, the moment you graduate high school, you're going into adults. You're getting out of here. He's like, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. You've got 2 more years here.
Wow.
Reality and
check.
Yeah, it was not something I'd ever really considered for myself. Mm-hmm. Especially, again, I'm not from the mountains. Mm-hmm. I'm not really surrounded by that at all in any part of my life outside of skiing. Or hadn't been, I guess more so now. It wasn't on my mind. And then it was. Not necessarily something that, like, I was going to do, but, like, a thing that I could achieve or could maybe, like, work towards. When I went to do the qualifiers in my first year out of high school, I only did two. once again, yeah, a terrible series of injuries, man, honestly. And then everything shut down because of COVID. And I was like, all right, I was second. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't, like, I hadn't, four comps had gone off. I only did two, mm-hmm. just missed it. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to school now. And then they sent me an email. I woke up like the first week of school in January. And they're like, how fast can you get to Europe?
Oh my God.
And I was like, ooh, how fast can I get to Europe? That's a great question. I will see about it. Stressed out. I was in school full time. I was taking five courses. I could not drop anything because it was part of like a, you know, program. Couldn't get out of it. I was like, okay, well, they kind of have to go. They're mm-hmm. asking me to yeah. compete on the world tour mm-hmm. and I kind of have to go. So I don't really know what it was like to qualify. I was by myself in my room. I don't think it was the same as many other people's mm-hmm. experience qualifying. Yeah. I kind of just appeared out of nowhere.
Right.
They told me 2 weeks before I had to compete.
That's gnarly.
No one else really knew that it was happening yeah. until I was there. So it was strange.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
That must have been a surreal experience.
Yeah.
Especially yeah. was that traveling after COVID?
It was weird. It was bad. I was on an international flight by myself. I traveled on my birthday. They felt real bad for me, the plane staff, because it was kind of like just me. You can't do anything or yeah. like talk to anyone. That was a weird season. It was. I'm grateful for that season.
Yeah.
It was a weird season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of growth, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Barely skied. I skied three times.
Wow.
When I went over to Europe, and I was there for a month. Because I broke my leg almost right. immediately.
That's horrendous. Did you break your leg in a comp run?
I honestly think, or at least I have to tell myself this, because the cliff where it kind of broke on is not something that it should have broken on, and so that was really stressing me out, especially like going back to skiing after it, because I've hit much bigger things in mm-hmm. much worse conditions, and I'd also hit that cliff before, mm-hmm. And I thought I hit it better, but I honestly think I banged my knee up a bunch not mm-hmm. on the run,
okay.
and I think it was kind of ready to go, because I landed the first big-ish cliff and it yeah. kind of just collapsed.
Yeah, usually the straw that breaks the camel's back, in this case, the cliff that broke the skier's knee.
Yes, yeah.
Not so good. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. It was okay. Yeah. I learned how to golf on a broke... I didn't know. I'd never properly, consciously broken anything
yeah.
before, so I was like, I also was in denial. I was like, it's... I literally have been here... for like 4 days mm-hmm. and I'm not like I can't I was like it's fine, it's just hurt, it's mm-hmm. just I'm gonna tape it up mm-hmm. I have a brace, it'll be fine. So I walked around on it for like a week. Played golf because there was no snow. I didn't move at all, but the golf was a great like
okay.
crutch.
Yeah,
and I just slap shot everything.
Yeah.
We had nothing else to do and I couldn't ski, and I honestly the snow sucked so bad anyway, so everyone was just playing golf. And so, yeah, I learned how to golf on my broken knee, and that was...
What else are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. What else are you going to do?
They think it's cross-training for hockey? No way.
No.
It's skiing, man.
Yeah.
So, what year was that? Was that 2021?
That was 2021, yeah.
And then in 2022...
Yeah.
You won in Baquera.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
What was that like to, like, come back and after, I'm assuming, rehab...
Yeah.
Of some sort coming back.
It was, yeah, because I was worried too. So yeah, I went, I did all that, like the insane haul, crazy, like left my entire life behind at home. Kind of was like, school, that's okay. I'll mm-hmm. deal with that later. Also concurrently, I guess, because I was in five courses.
Whoa.
But yeah, I... was so worried when I broke my leg. So I was like, man, I kind of just like, I messed up
yeah.
because like now I'm injured as well. I blew my shot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked me to come back.
Mm-hmm.
because clearly I didn't give them the full showing that they were hoping for, or not give them, but, you know, I got cut short.
Yeah.
And I was excited, but again, yeah, I was scared because I, in my head, was like, I broke my leg just landing that cliff. Even if I, like, kind of know it's not, like, that is what happened. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little stressed out about hitting things mm-hmm. again, just in general. And the beginning of the season, kind of just slightly getting into that. Mm-hmm. I was concussed in that fall, so it was a slow start.
In that same fall,
2021 fall going into that next season. So it was a slow start to the ski season for me as well. So I had barely skied before Bakira. Which was, you can't help it, can't be helped. So I was nervous. I was really nervous not to ski, but for the just general concept of, like, what that comp kind of meant for me. So I tried to, I was like, I'm going to put something chill down and something fun-ish, but we're going to just, like, remind myself that I can land a run. Because up until that point, it had been over. I didn't land anything the year before.
Right.
I did land, but everything else went south.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need to finish the run with nothing falling off of my body or nothing in my body falling apart. And I did. And it went great.
Awesome.
It felt... I mean, landing in and of itself was nice, just having everything go smoothly. Mm-hmm. Winning on top of that was really weird, crazy. Suddenly people did know who I was because I kind of sneakily appeared onto the tour, not once, but twice.
Yep.
So no one knew other than, I mean, all the people in IFSA and stuff. Yeah. They know them. We all know each other because the community is great. But outside of that, I feel like I was relatively... a mystery, and suddenly people did know who I was very much overnight, very much at the, like, after party and stuff. I was getting a million messages and I was overwhelmed. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Weird.
Yeah big time.
Yeah.
So was the idea of winning in your mind at all when you started this run, or was it just succeeding in getting down and uninjured?
I don't usually, like, go approach a run with the goal of getting a certain place. Sometimes it's hard to talk about, like, retrospectively, because, again, the last few seasons for me have been, like, I've been super injured and physically haven't been the best. So it is hard to say I want to ski runs, like, for myself, and when I choose lines, I try and choose them just for me, because this sport is important to me because of the creative freedom and like
totally.
The wonderful part of, like, me and all of the other people participating, how I get to see, like, them appear and represent themselves on the slopes, and therefore it's important for me to kind of uphold that no matter kind of what the external conditions are. And I think that's what keeps me going for it. It's fun and it's wonderful and it's like it's just a beautiful thing so long as I uphold that.
Amazing.
So I try and approach everything like that and just to do it for myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're not able to do what you want physically, sometimes it's hard for me to, like, look at a comp and be like, I did that for me, because I kind of just did that because I just did it.
Yeah.
I did it for, like, a neutral space.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one, yeah, had no intention of winning. But I don't usually go into a comp with, like, this is going to be a first place or this is, like, I'm going to beat someone else here. If I am healthy and have a line in mind and execute it, not perfectly, but really well, I'm fairly confident that other people will also see that, and then it'll get judged accordingly. So if that all happened and the conditions are right for it, I'm not too worried.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Win for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a podium or not.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, like, I don't know why you would do it. We don't it's draining and there's not a lot of money in it, so it's exhausting.
Put it lightly.
If you're not doing it for yourself, you should do a different sport.
Probably not. Yeah. Stick with golf, maybe. Oh, sorry,
honestly,
sorry.
Stick with golf.
Can't say that on the radio. Cool. Okay, well, we're touching halftime here. I do ask my guests for a song. Olivia, do you want to introduce your song?
Yeah. It's called Speed by Wet Cigarette. I love Wet Cigarette, and my biggest regret in life is that I didn't absolutely book it to Victoria to see their closing show. You guys should get back together. I don't know, in this like chance that anyone is listening on Wet Cigarette, please.
I'm sure.
For me, you know that I'm your biggest fan, and you're my biggest fan. I will only drop ski edits to your songs, and I'm running out. I'm running out of songs.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Let's go.
This is my request. And to anyone out there who could make that happen, please.
please do. All right, so this is Speed off their 2020 album, Uncut.
Too fast! Witness the world's best cinema, meet the creators behind your favorite works, and encounter live shows that combine music and film at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Taking place from September 28th to October 8th, a stellar lineup of over 130 films from 70 countries will transport you to places you've never been. Embrace the magic of cinema with exceptional storytelling that leaves you captivated and inspired. Be in the room as VIFF Live shows breathe life into stories from the screen, combining live performance and cinema. And go behind the scenes with VIFF Talks, connecting you to the brilliant minds behind the work you love. Explore the program and get tickets now at VIFF.org. That's VIFF.org. Student discounts are available, and if you are between the ages of 19 and 25, you can also join VIFF's free U25 membership program.
Power, power, power. Now, you are playing with power.
Think you have what it takes to be champion? Shindig is on, and submissions are open. 16 artists compete, but only one can be crowned winner. Worthy of prizes from Music Waste, Fanta Records, and more. Throw your hat in the ring today and apply at CITR.ca.
Only 12 guys to go!
You're the king, I tell you! The king!
Nothing goes together better than live music and a beer. Or two. Or five. Wait a minute. An estimated 886,000 Canadians aged 15 and older abused or were dependent on alcohol in 2012. 1 in 7 Canadians aged 15 years and older experienced verbal, emotional, and physical abuse as a result of another person's drinking. Make sure a fun night out doesn't ruin everyone else's, or your own. If you see yourself or someone you know slightly off key, help everyone out and step in. After all, you want to be able to remember the show tomorrow morning.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Welcome back to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. This is CITR 101.9 FM on this fine morning, 8:33, back at it. During our break, we were just chatting a little bit about what it's like to be a student athlete, what it's like to wake up every day at 6 a.m. when you've gone to bed at 10 or 11 or 12, finishing an assignment. You mentioned you were in Honors English. That must be a pretty demanding program at times.
If anyone who knows me is listening to this, they will know that I hate mornings. I hate waking up early. I like staying up late. I feel like in a normal, regular scenario, I'm probably going to bed at like 2:30. It's when I like to do work. My brain is active post 11 p.m., which is super inconvenient on all other aspects. It's okay being a student athlete. It's hard because I leave for big periods of time, like skiing, of course, is especially competing in like live scenarios is super dependent on good conditions in terms of like visibility. So sometimes I'll be gone. Sometimes I have to leave on really short notice. Mm-hmm.
And hence it's the awkward. 2 week
hence, yeah. It's really awkward telling people that I may or may not be around. I'm not a varsity athlete technically, but I spend a lot of time doing it. A lot. Skiing is different than like I've competed. I guess I competed at field hockey like a lot during. Especially during high school and stuff, and explaining to people that you're going to miss something for a tournament or an important game, for example, is a lot easier than telling people about ski competition, specifically freeride, because most of the time, first of all, they have no idea what you're talking about, and second of all, it's just structurally so different. Explaining to people in group projects, especially, like I'll take online classes during the winter for the most part, because at certain times I'll be gone for like a month straight, so I'm like the only. I gotta take an online class. Trying to tell people that I am not free during these days is very hard. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be out of service from 6 in the morning till, like, we get off the mountain at maybe, like, 6 p.m. And then after that, I'm not doing work.
Yeah.
And, like, these 4 days are a no. And they're like, are you sure, though? Like, we're all busy. I'm like, it's not the...
Yeah.
I get it. but no. These 4 days, I am not free. Yeah. And I'm so sorry. But yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I think I'm used to a life of doing way too much sports at the same time.
And then
having that time management. And now that I'm not doing like 80 billion sports, the time management is honestly almost harder. But yeah, when it gets busy and with skiing, I'm just really used to having to do things like really ahead of time, and telling profs that. Or just kind of appearing, being a little mysterious like that.
Yeah.
You don't see me for 2 months. Was I sick? Was I away? Who knows?
Now you see me, now you don't.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that the majority of people are understanding. For the cause.
For the
free ride cause. Yeah. Do you feel like you put the student before the athlete or the athlete before the student?
I think it's I was going to say a healthy mix of both. Mm-hmm. Probably like an unhealthy mix of both. They always ask more of my like Peak Performance is one of my sponsors, and they're super, like, I love seeing them because they always pull up around the tour because they also help out with the tour. They're also a sponsor of the tour as of the last few years, which has been great because they're all Europeans and I finally get to like see them and meet them and hang out with them.
Sweet.
They always want to do like a behind the scenes because they're so cute and supportive. I'm like, you don't actually want to see what I'm doing on my day off.
Yeah.
Because it's not cool or fun or exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm waking up as late as possible.
Yeah.
But probably realistically like 8 because I was taking a bunch of 9 a.m. classes. And 8 as late as possible. And I struggle. I walk around with a blanket over me and like watch. And then I take it off because I like feel bad. And I'm like, I need to be present here. And I know it's an online class, but like it's a small one. And I'm trying to be engaged in something. And then in between classes, just like grinding because it's my day off. And so I'm going to have to finish all my school. Maybe I'll see a human. Then I like sneak into the gym right before it closes for like 30 minutes.
Wow.
And then I go, and then it happens all over again. I'm like, do we want to see that? do the people want to see that?
Olivia McNeil wrapped up in a blanket, 8:05.
Yeah, everyone else
she's doffed the blanket. Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy. Everyone else is way cooler days off, I think. I don't know if this is inspiring. And that's me putting no one before anything else, just struggling through it. It's like athlete 50% of the time, academic 50% of the time.
Okay.
They almost overlap. And
a
then I'm
60,
like, no. Nope.
60-60 action.
A little 60-60 action, for sure, for sure. I've written many, an essay, or at least not the final copy, because that's hellish, but on my phone or in like the notes app. I'll have my like printed outs in my backpack. I'm like in the transportation between, or like in the morning or before comps, or even like sometimes on the gondola, I'm not gonna lie, we'll be writing a little bit of an essay, because I do like, you don't take English honors because you don't like school.
You
don't,
no doubt.
It's too much reading, it's too much writing. You don't do a double honors major because you don't like school.
Yeah,
I like school. I've always liked school, and sometimes you just gotta do them both at the same time.
Wow.
That's why the chairlifts are for.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's like That's inspiring.
Yeah.
And not only are you a student athlete, you're also engaged in some extracurriculars.
So, gotta.
Apparently.
Gotta do more things than just sit on my computer by myself all
day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the UBC Ski and Snowboard Club, you're engaged with that in some respect.
Yeah. I guess in my first year in person, I don't actually know who did it, but someone who was running, whoever was on the Instagram, I was going to say someone who was running it, but like now that I'm a part of it, there's a lot of us running mm-hmm. it. Someone sent me a DM and said, come to elections. And I was not alive during that part of the year. Again, I got concussed. I was out of it. It was just like a rough fall. I was like, man, this is confusing. Yeah. Why? But I showed up and I'm really glad I did.
Because it was sick.
It was great. And I'm so, so thankful to be a part of like that group. And trying to also, because it was like the year of post-COVID, mm-hmm. honestly trying to rebuild like the budget and like our connections and stuff.
Yeah.
Which we've been really trying to do. And I think successfully. It's fantastic. I'm happy for them. I'm happy to be a part of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's fun. I'm technically on exec. I've been away a lot during mm-hmm. like the winters and stuff. But I do my best during that part to like be helpful from afar.
For sure.
And I mean, when I'm here, I'm also, you know, we're doing work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything that you're looking forward to this year with the club?
Yeah. I mean, other than the usual, it's always fun mm-hmm. to, I mean, we notoriously host great parties.
Yeah.
Our events are fun. They're great. We're going to have a bunch of trips. Those are always cool. I've never been on one, so I'm
very
hoping I'll make a trip.
Yeah.
Is
there one in particular that you want to get on?
Probably just like Revelstoke.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Revelstoke in a bit. Cool. And I think that one's totally achievable for me this year.
Nice.
Because it's the first weekend back in second semester, and I don't think I'm away, which is insane. We're also doing a little bit more for kind of like accessibility and hopefully some representation this year. We're talking a lot about sustainability and like what that means in some meetings over last winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, this sport is so important to me.
Yeah.
And I know so important to so many other people. But for me, it's changed and honestly like saved my life as a sport. And I need like that's really, really important to me to implement in this club. And mm-hmm. we have got a grant. We're trying to get gear that's safe and fun actually to use and have that out on like a loan system. So we're currently looking for gear. We've got a few donations and some of them are unfortunately not usable.
Okay.
But we're going to try and maybe kind of cycle those through the system.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to buy like rental skis essentially because the bindings are perfect and then
totally,
we can actually
yeah.
like invest
on
in better
track.
Skis
yeah.
And then we've got boards and stuff of course going trying to get some soft goods and have those out on more of like a not like a lottery system but almost like a scholar you apply and we can
cool.
hopefully get you some
oh great
stuff like that
yeah
so just like even gear wise making that accessible to people also just having more opportunities for like community representation as well because that's notoriously just in I guess even if you're talking about in like mm-hmm. the outdoor industry especially in extreme sports or at least in my experience in extreme sports and from what I see people are trying but especially on like on the university level as well there's so much going on and people really often want to just like you know have fun but you can have both those things so we're
totally.
Really trying to have more of that especially as we start to have resources to be able to do it
mm-hmm.
and aren't kind of like hanging on by
that's
by
great.
A thread that's something I'm excited about. It's something I'm hoping other people will be excited about too. If anyone has opinions or thoughts or wants to see like a certain type of event
mm-hmm.
Or space having also like stuff that's free in terms of those spaces, which I know, again, for skiing and snowboarding is really hard. Mm-hmm. But even having stuff just around here so the community can kind of build like that. You can like see who else is out there and who else is also passionate about that.
Totally.
Will be nice. And that's something that's super easy to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, if people have ideas, they can let us know or they can let me know because I'm just trying to compile them.
Cool. What's the best way to reach out to you?
I mean, you can find my Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm relatively accessible. I'm honestly not on it as much outside of ski season.
Good. That's good.
But because I have to be on it during ski season, it's mandatory. Mm-hmm. that's the good way to reach
me. Right. Is it just Olivia McNeil?
Yeah, it's Olivia Dot McNeil. The cool. skiing stuff in it. So if you don't see skiing, it's the wrong Olivia
McNeil.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're rounding out here in the last 5 or so minutes. One thing that crossed my mind, I remember at the Hollywood Halloween party last year, was that when you did a little performance?
Yeah, a little performance.
A little performance. Do you want to talk a little bit about your involvement in the music scene?
Yeah. I've always loved music. I will not shut up about music. My brother's super into guitar. And I was super injured and I really couldn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. And so we started getting a lot into music. Now part of a band, kind of in a nice ambiguous, loose space of reconfiguring, which is fun. Not performing. So that's, I love performing. Mm-hmm. So pros and cons, but it's cool to we're kind of checking in, deciding what kind of music we want to make, writing a little bit, and looking for a permanent bass player. And then once we have that kind of settled, we can reemerge into
amazing.
The world. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And you're now involved with the station here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah. I have been writing a radio show. So fun. I love radio.
I love radio too.
Radio is sick. It's such a good medium. It's such a not nostalgic medium because that's like as if I'm old. Well, I'm not that old, but like when I was a kid,
society.
I loved radio. I loved radio. Radio is the mornings. Radio is going to school. Radio is road trips. Yeah. of course, it was a no brainer for me. I'm like, if I'm more around this year, I want to be involved in radio, and it's a little bit of a different type of show.
Yeah.
A little bit of some science fiction, definitely. I mean, still some music.
Yeah.
Funky. The premise funky is funky.
Science fiction.
Yeah.
What's the name of your show?
It's called Drunk on All Your Strange New Worlds. There's lots of like, I guess you could call it, there's gonna be like loose physics, philosophy, little bit of not time travel but like space hopping, hopefully some like actually cool relevant thoughts, but also just like an ode to art and music and living and existence, which are things that I like.
Amazing.
And hopefully other people like as well. Yeah.
That's so great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, please stay tuned for Drunk on All of Your
Strange
worlds.
Yeah.
Holy, I look forward to that. Olivia, thank you so much for being here today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure we'll see more of you around campus, and look forward to what's to come from the Ski and Board Club.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good one.
Is lonely and silent, shades are all drawn, and my heart is heavy as I gaze upon a cottage for sale. The lawn we were proud of is waving in hay. Has withered away. Where you planted roses, the weeds seem to say, a cottage for sail.